Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You're watching.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you might be joining us for another episode of CPA and More on Facebook Live. Today we've got Phil Yeager, and we've also got another associate here at Yeager CPA Review, Philip Sukram. Did I pronounce that right, Phil?
Yes, sir.
He is one of the instructors on the new Yeager CPA instructor hotline that you can reach through the new Yeager CPA subscription platform. And we are here tonight to take our students and other followers' questions live here on the air. So without further ado, I'm going to pass the microphone over to Phil and Phil.
Well, thank you very much. What is your name, sir?
My name.
Thank you very much.
My name's Rob. And again, I'm the producer, director. I manage all the technical aspects of these shows.
Thank you very much to Rob. Rob always does a tremendous job. And Phil, welcome to the team. I hate that word. It's such a, that's one of the words they use, team. He's a team player. Yeah. We haven't gotten him his team shirt yet. That's why he's wearing that shirt. All right, but anyway, we are going to take some questions, I guess. Right, Rob?
Correct. So I've got a few questions that have already been submitted through our online registration for the people who are listening and watching through the actual webinar. And then we're also going to be taking questions live through the webinar as well as on Facebook directly. So if there's any questions that you're thinking of during the show while we're actually live on air, feel free to submit them. We'll get them answered for you as quickly as we can on today's recording. We are going till about 8 o'clock this evening, all right? So to get started, Phil, the first question, we've got someone by the name of Matt. He is studying for Section FAR. He's taking his test second quarter of 2019, so currently. And his question is, do you have any suggestions on simulation strategy?
You want me to start? Would you like me to start? First of all, there is no way you can practice simulations. And I mention this all the time when I'm speaking to students, all right? If you are taking a course and either they have not mentioned the simulations, which are the blueprints, they can be blueprints. I started that incorrectly, all right? Yeah, I got so excited. By the way, it's good to see everyone tonight. The whole exam is based on the AICPA copyrighted blueprints. The blueprints are like a map. They are the tests they're going to test you on. Now, as far as simulations go, the task-based simulations that these companies do have, they are author-constructed simulations. Why? The AICPA really does not provide or release that many simulations. There could be a couple that they actually release. So if there aren't that many out there, how come all these other courses have thousands of them? Because they make them up. That's how they have it. And those simulations don't mean anything, all right? Because they don't have a clue what the topics are going to be. So you say to yourself, well, how do I practice? This is the way you practice, all right? First of all, go through every task. I'm trying to think of the word. Go through every, what's the copyrighted things? Blueprints, I'm trying. It's like we're in the Adirondacks. No, It is go through all the blueprints. Now, if you don't have the blueprints, you can get them. You go to AICPA.org, all right? Look in the search box on the right and type in blueprints. That will give you every blueprint for that subject. So if you're doing financial accounting, all right, just look for the financial accounting blueprints. Go down each one. They'll give it to you. They'll show you. They'll say, know this, know that, know this. Now, as long as you know that material, all that's going to happen is when you get to the exam is you have to know the Prometric Center, the computer screen. And if you know what the blueprints are and you can explain them, all you're going to do is take that information from the blueprints and insert them onto the screen at Prometrics. And here's the tip of the day, if I might say. You do not have enough time to complete that entire exam, all right? And let me just tell you what you need to do to pass. There are actually two testlets of multiple choice, all right? They are worth roughly 50% of the exam, but you can only spend 90 minutes on the two multiple choice testlets. So therefore, there's 4 hours in the exam. That's 240 minutes. You spend 90 minutes on the two multiple choice testlets, leaving you with 150 minutes. Now, I believe you have 7 or 8 task-based simulations. If you divide the 7 or 8 into the remaining time of 150 minutes, that gives you maybe about 17, 18 minutes to do the simulations. Now, you cannot do those simulations in 17 or 18 minutes. So what you need to do is this. You need to go to the simulation, read what the requirements are for the question. That's the stem. Read the stem of the question, all right? Then read the facts, and 3, start answering the question. And by the way, every response is independent of the other responses. So normally, if you mess up one response, it won't affect the other response. And as long as you get more than, I would say 60%, as long as you get 60% of the responses correct on the simulations, and you don't finish the other parts of that simulation, they'll probably pass you because they can determine based on you doing 60% of those task-based simulations, all right, if you know the concepts or not. And this way, if you only spend the 16, 17, 18 minutes per task-based simulation, you will control your own time and you'll have enough time to do all of the simulations and also the two testlets of multiple choice. Do not spend 20 minutes on one simulation because you want to finish the whole thing. Bad idea. The minute you spend that 20 minutes, all right, there's not going to be enough time to finish the other ones. So it's better to do some of each simulation instead of doing all of one and leaving other ones blank. That's really the secret. They're trying to determine if you know that subject. And they can determine it by you only doing a portion of that simulation. And I'll say it again. You have to know the blueprints. Read the blueprints. Read what they're asking you to know. If you know those, that's the material they're going to test you on. And I'll say it again. Most courses today don't use the blueprints in their books. All right. They tell you that the blueprints exist. All right. Well, that's great. Everyone should know they exist. All right. I know. Rob, do you know?
Yes, I do.
Very good. And Phil, do you know the blueprints exist?
Yes, I do.
He does. Okay. But our competitors don't know. All right. And that's fine with me because it makes us even look better than we are now. All right. Next question. Do you want to comment on that, Phil?
No, driving home the point, blueprints is what you got to follow.
Hey, God, they changed that. I wish we had blueprints when I took the exam, all right? When there were no blueprints. We knew they were going to ask a business combination, right? But what were they going to ask about it? Now the blueprints say what they're going to test in that. And by the way, popular subjects, cash to accrual, this is the 8-year predictions, cash to accrual as a problem. Also, make sure you know all the information on the new lease standards, okay? I promise you. I think they're going to give you a big problem on that, one of the sims. Also, I would know the different type of investment, like the equity method, all right? Now, where you own 20 to actually 100%. All right. If you own zero to, let me see, I'm trying to remember the rules off the top of my head. If you own less than 20% investment in stock, you have to determine if the stock has a readily marketable value or not. All right. And based on that, you'll know how to carry it. But you have to know how to carry investments in bonds, investments in stocks. And also, all right, let's take the equity method. The equity method is generally used when a company owns, all right, first of all, at least 20% up to 50% of the stock of another company. That's significant influence. If they own more than 50% of the interest in another company, they control it. So whether they have significant influence or control, the investment of stock must be under the equity method. Now, if you want to, there's an alternate method you can use, all right, instead of the equity method. And that is called the fair value option. So make sure you know that fair value option stuff, okay? All right. And all right. Where is this all? Where am I coming up with this? You think I just making this up? All right. I have read those blueprints so many times that, after a while you start seeing them in your sleep. Okay. In fact, that's where I just came from, my sleep. But no, that's where you'll see them. Okay. All right. Next.
All right. So the next question is from Shane. And Shane's question is, upon completing the CPA program, how often do I need to recertify?
Anybody, Phil, you want to talk about that?
Recertifying your CPA license?
I believe that's what they're referring to. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, I know that's going to be dependent on your state, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think he thinks that once you take the exam and you pass the exam and you get your certification license, you have to recertify. And the answer is you don't have to recertify. All right. What you have to do is once you get past the exam and you get your CPA certificate, because you have enough credit hours and the experience requirement, all right, you have your CPA license and certification. And in order to maintain that, you have to take continuing education credits, all right? And I believe every state is about the same. I think it's 80 hours over 2 years.
Yeah, I think 80 hours, it's 40 a year, right? Whether it's 2 years or 3 years rolling.
And you don't have to take the exam all again. But if you had to take the exam all again, I'd go into the profession I wanted to go into the first place. I wanted to be a shepherd, okay? But there wasn't a big demand at that time, so I said, I'll go into accounting.
All right. So Shane has a second question as well. What is the passing grade for each course? And I believe they technically mean what is the passing grade for each section.
Gotcha. So,
good. Phil, what's the passing per part?
So the passing score for each section is going to be a 75, and that 75 represents a score, not a percent.
And the, let's just say a perfect score is 300, 75 on each part, right?
Yep.
All right. And remember this, and do not quote me on this, all right? The SCPA says they don't curve the exam. They do. I believe they do curve. They have a different terminology. They don't use the word curve, but no, the score you got is actually a score that they came up with after they compared you to everyone else that took the exam during your testing window, and then they converted it to their score. They have a cut score, they call it. It's like playing golf. At the end of three rounds, they have a cut score. And if you don't hit that cut score, they cut you from the tournament. And that's exactly what they do in the first grading. They have a cut score. If you make the cut score, then you go to the second grading, and then they look at it, compare you to the other people, and they're going to pass the top certain number percentage of the people taking that part during your testing window.
All right.
By the way, Shane was my favorite Western. Anybody ever seen, Rob, did you ever see the movie Shane?
I have not, actually. I'm not huge on Western movies. We have a few other questions that came in.
You ever heard that movie, Shane?
I missed that one. I missed it.
Yeah,
well, I think we're a little too young for that one, Phil. So the next question is, the last time I saw
you, Rob. Okay, now, I hope you get bitten by a horse.
Okay. Where I live, that's possible. Okay. So the next question is, the last time I sat for the CPA exam, the simulation questions were very different from the questions that were in the textbooks. how do you see the new versions of the simulated questions?
Well, first of all, they were different from the ones in the textbooks. I'm assuming he's talking about the textbooks for the course he took, all right? Well, yeah, they're going to be different because the ones in these course textbooks are made up by the courses, all right? They make them up, and they lead the people on to believe, hey, these are representative. And you'll, as long as you do our simulations, the practice, you will see those again on the exam, all right? And the answer is, no way, Jose, all right? You know, once again, know what each blueprint says and just say, they're going to ask me task-based simulations on the information from the blueprints. And if you want to practice what they really look like, the AICP has on their website, once again, AICPA.org, go up to simulated exams. They have roughly two simulations, all right, for each part, like two for FAR, two, and those are the ones they released. But the ones the companies have are not released by AICPA. That's why they're going to look different. No one knows what those there's so few simulations that the AICPA has. They're always in trying to increase their test bank with simulation that they're not going to release them to the public. All right. See, every school pays a royalty to AICPA. We pay royalty to use the questions. And if they give us any simulations, we get them like everyone else. Well, there's very few that we get. So therefore, your best thing is to know what type of simulations they have. For example, there's document simulations. There's simulations where they'll give you a fact pattern and you have to fill in the numbers like Jim took, he bought a piece of equipment, took 5 years depreciation. How much is the depreciation this year? All right. Now, the document simulations, all these simulations, you can practice with the AICPA website. Don't practice them with your company that you bought the course from. All right. I'm going to say this to you, and I promise, if you just use that company's simulations, which are the company's simulations, all right, I promise you, you will come out of the exam and say, I didn't see any of those simulations that the company I took their review course has. And that's because the AICPA is not going to use, all right, the ABC's CPA review course's problems. They're going to use the AICPA simulations. You can't duplicate the simulations unless you know the tip. Right. You want to duplicate them? All right. Go to the blueprints. Usually after a topic on the blueprint, they put interpret something like in leases. The last blueprint says interpret what type of lease this is. All right. Now, the way they'll do that is they'll give you various documents. They might give you a contract between the lessor and the lessee. And if you know the terms of what is a financing lease, not a financing lease, a finance lease to the lessee, then you can answer it's a finance lease. The exam is completely machine graded. So they have to give you responses that just are something quick that the computer can scan. So I don't know. Did that answer it basically? What I'm really saying is these course providers, all right, they give thousands of examples of sims, and then the students say, gee, they didn't ask those. All right, they're not going to ask those because very few are released to the course providers.
All right, so the next question that we got in is,
are we finding out whether the people asking these questions are satisfied with the responses?
We do have a chat option where they can interact with us, so okay. I keep an eye on that. So the next question that we have is, I need two more upper level accounting classes to meet my 150 credit requirement. I plan on applying for grad school this summer. Would Phil recommend getting an MBA with concentration in accounting or a master's of professional accounting? I plan to work in the audit industry.
This is what I would do. Most people, if they majored in accounting in school, they usually have 4 years and they give them a Bachelor of Science in accounting, but they still need extra credits to come up with the 150. So there's two situations here. All right. You can have a person who majored in accounting undergraduate, Bachelor of Science in accounting. Now, what would I do to get the extra 150 hours or get a master's? Well, first of all, I'd get a master's in something other than accounting if I have an undergraduate degree in accounting, all right? You might get a master's of taxation if you want to go into that area. You might want to get a master's in finance, but don't get a master in accountancy because they're going to give you the same courses that you took in the undergraduate bachelor's degree. And if you have a bachelor's degree in accounting, all right, and you're going to go on for a graduate degree and you need 150 hours, two extra courses I might take that were not necessarily given to you in undergraduate would be advanced taxation, which is partnership corporation taxation entities. Also, I might take a course, a second course would be advanced auditing, all right? Because most schools only give you one semester of auditing. Another course might be governmental and not-for-profit, because that's also a separate course that most people don't get in the bachelor's degree in accounting. So you want to know about extra courses to get the 150 hours that are accounting related that you didn't have in the bachelor's of accounting, all right? Advanced taxation, advanced auditing, governmental and not-for-profit. I think those are the areas. I can't think of anything else. Phil?
Yeah.
What did you get your degree in?
So after all that said, I have my master's in financial accounting, but I agree with Phil. I think if you have an undergrad in accounting, you'll have enough skills to sit and take and pass the CPA exam. So I think, you know, doing like a master's and maybe even possibly data analytics or, you know, taxation is definitely strong. I think it would give you a different direction.
What was your undergraduate degree in, Phil?
My undergraduate degree was also as a Bachelor of Business Administration, and the concentration was accounting.
Now, you then took a master's of what?
Master's in financial accounting.
Which, now, what did you get duplicate courses? Did you have duplicate subjects that you did in the undergraduate?
I think some of them were duplicate. We did a corporate governance class, which I thought was really great. That definitely improved my writing skills. Also, there was one related to information systems, so that gave me a different aspect. I did my master's quite a few years after my undergrad, so it was a good refresher in different courses. I think if you're going to go immediately, or you know, you could veer towards a different specialization like taxes.
Actually, an extra course, written communication. Are there courses called written communication?
Depending on the school, but yes.
All right. So I would say, you know, written communication is a part of the BEC part.
Yes.
All right. And people who have trouble with like English as a second language, I'm sorry. All right. May not be able to write well, and maybe they need to take a written communication course. That could be a good extra course, I would think.
That would be an excellent course. I think all those written communications and memo writing, I think a lot of people, it's daunting and you could be a little scared to write, but even someone that shied away from writing in his career, I know specifically my time in that course has improved my writing and improved my confidence in writing.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right. So our next question is from Duck Nguyen. And their question is, where can I get additional test banks for BEC? I want to practice as much of BEC MCQs as I can. And they are taking the BEC exam in third quarter of this year, so July through September.
Well, let me just tell you this. As a course approved course provider, we meet with the ICPA twice a year. And I think he's the director of examinations, Mike Decker, says, all right, the exam now is trying to test higher level critical thinking, okay? And the questions that we have, just like every other course has, all right, are the old content specification question, all right? They're lower level thinking, all right? And there's only a limited number that they actually release to us, all right? So by practicing more multiple choice, that's not going to help you, all right? You're going to end up memorizing concepts. So what would I do, all right? This is what I would do. I would go through every blueprint for regulation, read the blueprint, and say to yourself, all right, now what are they asking this? For example, they may ask you, explain the qualified business income deduction, all right? I think that's called Section 199. I'm just trying to remember. All right. But explain that. Now, there's really no multiple choice released on that. And if there are any multiple choice, guess what? They were made up by your course. And made up questions by your course are not good questions to practice with. So there's no reason to do thousands of multiple choice. Just do the ones that are released to the, from the AICPA, all right? Know the topics and the blueprints. In fact, regulation, all right? They spell it out. They tell you. I mean, it's beautiful. The information you can get from that, very clear. They'll tell you. Know the requirements to be an S corporation, all right? That's a blueprint, all right? You don't have to practice that. You just have to know what they are, all right? What you don't have to do a lot of questions. All right. That's the old days. And there are still courses that are preaching. Do thousands and thousands of multiple choice. That is not the case. In fact, I'm quoting from the director of examinations. All right. You need to know how the AICPA, actually how the Prometrics computer works. And also, you have to know the blueprints. And if they ask you any test-based simulations, you're going to take that information from the blueprints and put them right on the computer screen. And also, once again, all right, you have to set up a program. Well, you're not going to set up a program. You have to set up a strategy of how much time you're going to spend on each question when you go in there. And the amount of time for reg is about the same as financial accounting. I'd say a minute and a half for multiple choice and about 15 to 16 minutes for each task-based simulation. All right, if you don't complete the entire task-based simulation, but you do 60% of it, all right, and you get those responses correct, they will pass you on the reg. And the other thing is, the reg, the financial, they have one sim on research. Now, it's very hard to practice research unless you work for a CPA firm that has a research program. So how do you practice for research? Well, it's sort of a hit or miss, all right? They'll give you the information. They want the codification, all right? So this is what you do. All right. Take a guess. You know, try to come up with the keywords. It's like a Google search. See if you can come up with that codification. All right. Now, if you can't come up with it in 3 to 4 minutes, then move on. Don't spend any time on it and move on to the next part of the exam. Another task-based simulation. Because I'll tell you, I don't know anybody's ever failed the exam because they did not get the research correct. It's not that important, the research. Okay. Let me repeat that. It's not that important. It won't affect your grade. Okay? All right.
All right. So our next question is, I want to know, is it best to write my odd exam in July 4 since data analysis, analytics is included in July 1? If I am writing July 4, my score will be released on August 6th when my expiration will start exam date or score release date.
I don't know what that question meant.
Charisse, if you're still online, if you could add a little clarity on that one.
Hey, Rob, I'll decipher that one a little bit. So the two different questions enclosed in that question is, so if you're going to sit for your exam, I think the British term is write your exam, on July 4th, that means that the score would be released on August 6th. So question number one would be, when does that expiration start on the date of the exam, which would be July 4th or on August 6th? And the answer to that is that it would start on the date that you sit for the exam, regardless of when your score is actually released. And then the second one is, what about data analytics? So that's being eligible for testing starting in Q3 2019. So it would be July 1st. And so the question is, I'm assuming, is it best to try to sit for it before June 10th or wait until July 1st? I mean, is that large topic area? Is it going to impact your score? Something like that. And I don't know, do you guys have thoughts on that question?
So they're adding new blueprints in auditing, is that correct?
So the blueprints for auditing have to do with data analytics. They've added additional data analytic topics in both BEC and auditing because you're being asked to do that as an entry level second to third year associate at Big Four firms. So that's something that you'd need to know. And they haven't really expanded the scope of the exam, but they've sort of modified how they're testing it. So I wouldn't really be super worried about those. What I would expect you to know for something like that, if you're given a pie chart or any type of chart in Excel, be able to read the chart and answer questions about it. That's what they mean when they're looking at some of those data analytic questions within the scope. And it's not really a scope increase per se. It's more of a expansion of the topic so that you know what they're actually testing, as opposed to having it be super vague in the blueprint.
And we have that information in our books.
We do.
All right. And if you're taking a course that doesn't have that in their books, what would they find? Any auditing book would have that?
It's one of those areas that I don't know there's a lot of information. But I would say that we can probably put together a blog post on that topic for those that are not members of our course at this point. But it's, one of those areas that I wouldn't focus a ton of time on, but I would expect questions on it on the exam.
Thank you.
All right. So our next question is from Chelsea. And her question is, what is the best order in which to take the tests? And how many hours of studying should I generally expect to have for each test?
This is the order we recommend. We recommend to start with the financial accounting, okay, which is all, it covers GAAP, IFRS, all that stuff. Now that you are an expert in the generally accepted accounting principles because you took financial accounting, I would then go to auditing, because auditing, you're auditing a financial statement. So if you know your generally accepted accounting principles, they're going to ask you questions on how you audit certain accounts. Like you learned in financial accounting about what's included in inventory, like are consigned goods consigned to you, are they in your inventory? Goods with title is passed to you, but you do not have possession. All right. Now, what they might do in auditing is, all right, ask something like that, which is similar, but they'll give you the facts. They'll give you the dates the goods were shipped. They'll tell you this company has consigned goods. And they'll ask you to make adjusting entries to adjust the inventory to the correct amount. So it's a good idea to take auditing second. We recommend that you take regulation third. Regulation is really not dependent on any other material the way I see it. All right. And then end it up with the BEC. And the reason why you want to end up with the BEC is because the BEC has written communications, and they can ask written communications on either financial accounting material, auditing, or even regulation stuff. So you need to know those first three topics. They answer any written communication in BEC on that. And like, for example, on BEC, they ask, I believe, ratios. Do they not, Megan?
Yes.
Okay. And you get those ratios usually in financial accounting, a lot of them in financial accounting. So that helps. Now, don't go, by the way, a lot of people take the BEC first. Why? Because they heard it's the easiest part. It is not the easiest part, okay? When the exam was first given, the new exam, it was the easiest part because they were asking subjects that were never asked before, like economics, quantitative analysis, that type of stuff, all right? So what they had to do the first time was they had to put a massive curb on the BEC, all right? Because if they didn't, no one would have passed it. So as a result of that, people, it's still, all the rumor mills continue on and tell you, oh, that BEC is the easiest part. All right. All right. I scored so well in that. That was a long time ago. All right. I don't think any one part is any harder or easier than the other part. No, that's it. Any other comments anybody has?
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. And our last question on the webinar is, can you please explain which things to memorize in regulation, figures, basis, etc., and how to deal with the regulation and BE simulations as they differ from the review courses?
Okay. You don't need to memorize the areas they're going to test in regulation. All right. You need to look at the blueprints for the regulation, because each blueprint tells you what they're going to ask on the exam. The blueprints are what they're going to test, nothing more, nothing less. All right. Now, the second part of the question was what, Rob?
Let me pull it back up here. It was referring to how to deal with the simulations in regulation and BEC as they differ from the review courses. And I think you kind of touched on that earlier with another question that we had.
I promise you that if you know the information in the blueprint, all they will do is take a large problem. They'll create a large problem from the blueprints. And those will be your task-based simulations. And you can practice those the best way. Go to the AICPA.org website, type in simulations, and get it. There's two simulations on regulation, I believe. And these were released by the AICPA. So they're good simulations, all right? The ones that the providers have were never released by the AICPA, all right? They're made up by the providers. And they're not there when they make up the simulations. So they're taking a guess, all right?
And Phil, I'll chime in to add. So when you go to the AICPA.org website, you would actually type in sample tests to find those simulations.
Is that what it is? So the word, you don't type in simulation, you type in sample tests.
Sample test, and then you'll be taken to a page where they'll have each sample test for each exam, and then it'll do a mock user interface that looks exactly like you'd see it on exam day. So that's nice to see. It'll have the launch code. It has everything you'd see on exam day. But if you wanted to just do the simulation, say you're short on time, you actually can click through those multiple choice question slides to get to the simulations. But I do recommend everybody taking the exam at least within the last week before you go in and sit to do those sample tests. They're the best way to practice what it's going to feel like when you actually go in and sit.
And if you want to practice the research question on auditing financial accounting, the AICPA gives you access to the pronouncements for financial accounting auditing free for 6 months. Is that correct, Megan?
That's it. Yep. And you'll go to NASBA.
Access to that. All right.
Yeah, it's free. The way you would get access is you'd actually have to have your notice to schedule. And so once you have your notice to schedule, you'd go to NASBA.org professional literature. If you Google NASBA professional literature, it would come up. And we can also provide the link on our social media accounts here too. But that's the best way. If you're getting ready to sit for FAR, I'd try to plan ahead. It's only a 6 month amount of access. If you're trying to use it for all of your sections and you're going over that 6 month period, I would be a little bit careful, but I would focus on having it for FAR.
And there is really no way to practice the Internal Revenue Code stuff, is there, Megan?
No, you know what I always say, you kind of touched on it already, Phil, that it's similar to a Google search, but here's the difference. You're going to have to, in the prompt, it's as if someone came into your practice or your firm and didn't know what it was called. So say they come into your practice and say, hey, I'm really, I'm an investor and I'm not sure if this company is going to go out of business. I need advice on, you know, what should I put in the audit report or whatever it is on going out of business. So as an accountant, as a CPA, you would need to know going concern is the term that we would use for that type of scenario. And it would be probably a more obscure term than going concern, but that's the type of concept that you'd need to know. And so anytime you get a research question, they most likely will not give you the term you're going to need to use to search within the standards. And that would be where your studying would come into play. If you've read through everything and you know the blueprint's cold, the terms that you'd need to know would be top of mind and you'd be able to search for the thing that you'd need to know.
Yeah, it also helps when you're doing the tax research, if you know what the topic is, it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah.
Like, you know, if there's a research question on tax-free exchange, I'm trying to remember, is that code section 1044? I'm trying to remember, is that a 1044 tax-free exchange? I'm trying to remember. I think it is, but all right. If you know what the topic is, you just type in the topic, all right? If you know what the research question is for the taxes, all right, type in the subject by words or some of them, like, you know, if it's dealing with section 1231 asset, you type in section 1231 asset, okay? But if you can't get it immediately, don't spend more than 3 to 4 minutes on that research simulation. Okay. All right. Rob, you have any other questions?
Yeah. So someone added to their previous question, the blueprints don't specify what to memorize and the amounts for like itemized deductions and adjustments.
Of course they don't, because there's not everyone has the same itemized deduction. Now, they do tell you, for example, if you're doing medical expenses, they tell you, all right, well, let me explain something. The blueprints are not meant to tell you, all right, what the information is about. The blueprints are to tell you what they're going to ask you, all right? You're supposed to learn in your course what the amounts are, all right? Like, for example, medical has to exceed 7.5% of AGI, all right? That's for 2019, all right? The blueprints are not going to say, oh, yeah, for 2019, the blueprints are just telling you what tasks you need to know, all the rules of taxation, all the limits. They are part of the text. That's the text. They're not going to put that in the blueprints. Does that make sense? I mean, all right? No, people want the blueprints to provide two things here, all right? What the tasks are, and also they want the blueprints to be the, you know, the tests, the textbooks. The blueprints are not textbooks, okay? All right? You know, you can't expect the AICPA to give you everything, all right? Because it's an exam. They're trying to test you on what you know about things. So they're not going to spoon feed you everything, all right? This exam is the hardest professional exam. It's very passable, but get it off it. They're not going to spoon feed you everything.
All right. So our next question is, please offer a strategy as to what topics to focus on during the 2 weeks before you sit for the exam. And that question came from Facebook.
Well, I think, have I not said that? All right. The last 2 weeks, what do? Look at the blueprints.
Blueprints.
All right. All right. If anybody at the end of this broadcast does not know the word blueprints, okay, I want them to call me and I want to slap them around, okay?
Oh, Phil, behave, right? Behave.
No, seriously, let me just mention it, okay? What do I do the last 2 weeks? Well, one thing you might want to do is, all right, you can purchase our CRAM course. It's a review of all the material, all right? Best review you're going to get. Or I would read over the blueprints again. And you read over and you can recognize those topics. Like the blueprints is an example. All right. One of the blueprints says, all right. When a corporate under section 351, that's when you form a corporation. If you acquire control of that corporation, all right, what are the tax consequences? Well, normally under section 351, which is the formation of a C corp or an S corp, if the shareholders that are coming in, the incoming shareholders acquire 80% or more of the stock, there's a tax-free exchange. So I look at that. I say, oh, I know that rule. Check it off. Move ahead. That's what you do the last 2 weeks. Don't spend your time doing tons of questions. You know, for some reason, people don't want to use the blueprints. All right. Now, I don't know what the courses that you have are telling you. All right. But it is all about the blueprints. In fact, that's my next movie. All about the blueprints. So,
starring Phil Yeager.
Starring Phil Yeager and little Tweety Toddy, whatever.
Anyway, you know, Megan, he's going to want to get you in on that too, right?
Megan is in the witness protection plan.
No, so I was streaming on Instagram and just went up too high, but that's why my...
Oh, okay.
That's how hot Megan, this podcast is.
Megan, from listening to the questions, yeah. do you get the impression, and I'm not putting down the students, okay? Do you get the impression that these people are taking courses where they don't mention the blueprints?
I know. And I interact with people on Instagram. I've talked to people on the phone. There is a gap of knowledge, of awareness about the blueprints. And I'm not sure exactly where that knowledge gap is coming from, if it's instructors at a university level or if it's review course providers. But like, this is our public service announcement. They exist. They're free. If you're not using the study guide provided but from the people that developed the exam, you're just crazy. There's no other way for me to put that. So one thing I wanted to touch on, because it came up on the Instagram, and maybe my phone will cool off a little bit and I'll hop back on there. But I know that people got their scores yesterday, and we don't get as many questions about this because I don't think that people want to out themselves as having failed. But what is your advice? And maybe Philip can answer this. What would your advice be for someone if they've failed the exam, they got their score yesterday, and trying to pick back up and start studying?
Well, they do give you a diagnostic report. And the diagnostic report tells you, compared to other students, if you're weaker, comparable, or stronger. Now, if you can see, you know, if you can see maybe you're weaker in one area, all right, maybe that's what you got to concentrate more on. Now, based on regulation, I know the ones that always throw the weaker areas are the entity. People are generally weaker in corporation, partnership, taxation, okay? Now, when you look at the diagnostic report, if it says you were weaker in simulations, that does not mean you don't know how to do a simulation. It just means you were weaker in the subject matter that the simulation covered, all right? So look at the diagnostic reports. They follow the blueprints, exactly. And then if you, now, the only problem you get into is a lot of people get back this diagnostic report and it says they're weaker in every subject, all right? It's very hard to figure out what you were weaker in. But either way, all right, you need to, you know what, you have to ask yourself, why am I taking the CPA exam? Why am I doing this? All right, because I want to tell everyone I'm a CPA. All right, you better have a good reason why you want to go through this exam. All right, I want to have the flexibility. All right, I can't leave my job because I'm not certified. I want to make more money in my career. These are definite reasons. So every time you think about if you fail a part of the exam, all right, you say to yourself, why am I doing this? And if it has to be with, well, I know it'll give me more flexibility in my career. I know I'll be able to get a better position in accounting or finance. That should get you going again. And don't sit there and, you know, of course you're going to be down in the dumps, and that's fine. That happens. It's a blow to your ego, but you got to pick yourself up. And this is where a good support team helps, you know, whether it's a spouse, all right, they have to give you support. And the support is get up, restudy. You know, and another thing is, all right, the amount of time you study on this exam, all right, it's not a race. This is not the, you know, the, what's the bike race called?
The Tour de France.
This is not the Tour de France, okay? All right? It doesn't make any difference how long you study. But I'll tell you, we tell people if you're working financial accounting regulation, each one is about 3 months. And then the auditing and the BEC, what was it, 2.5 months? All right. Now, does that mean that's a hard and fast rule? No. If you have to spend a little longer, then you spend a little longer. But I'll tell you something. You got to make a commitment to this. You have to give up certain things that you were, you know, you can't continue to maintain the same life you had before and study for the exam. It's just not there. You know, you make a commitment. All right. You go to the library. Best place to study is the library. Not at home. We have children running around. All right. That doesn't bother me. All right. Pick yourself up and go to the library. But these are the commitments you make. It is a commitment, and it's worth the commitment. And if you don't think it's worth the commitment, then you should not be taking the CPA exam. Rob, what was the other areas with that?
That was it.
Did they ask what they would study, what they should study?
Well, I'd love to hear Phillip's, since we have both of our Phils here. Yeah. What would your recommendation be for folks that might have failed yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, my recommendation is if you look at the pass rates for the CPA exam, it's not 100%, right? And if it was, then everyone would pass it. So you may feel like the minority, and the truth is you're probably in the majority. There, I think the more people you would talk to, I would say if you know anyone that has taken the exam, feel free to ask them if they got through all four exams without failing one of them. Because I think odds are you're going to find people who have failed the exam one time, multiple times, and that is natural. That's okay. We've all failed. We've all have been there. And I think the reality is when you end up picking yourself up and you end up passing all the exams, you know, I'll have friends that come to me with a question that might be related to taxes, and I'm not a tax accountant, but because of the effort I put into regulation, I am confident in certain principles about taxes that I can answer. And that's the point of the exam. when you pass all four exams, you'll have such a wide range of knowledge. And that only comes from, like Phil said, studying over and over, looking at the blueprints. And that type of knowledge won't come overnight, but it comes with repetition, getting things right, getting questions wrong. And I'll say this, sometimes you learn best when you get questions wrong, because then you really can zone in and you'll never forget the moment, oh, when I selected a wrong answer. So that's how you really hone your skills and build confidence as yourself as a person.
Yeah, it's definitely an emotional journey, though. We know that people are kind of going through the doldrums of the exam right now, and it's tough to pick yourself back up and look at a book that you've looked at about 100 times before. So if we can help you in any way in that process, my biggest recommendation is first and foremost, go download a new copy of the blueprints and start fresh. And then if we can help you, we'd love to be able to help you. We have very affordable CPA reviews, so we're happy to get you on our Team Jaeger bandwagon, and we can get you through the exam too. We're always here to help you, and we do these lives once a month. We're going to do them on the first Tuesday of the month to answer questions and help you in a more interactive format too.
I just want to say, if someone is taking a course and they're failing three times, all right, you have to assess that course, because what do you think is going to happen if you study with that course for the fourth time? All right. Is it magically going to change? All right. And now I can pass. All right. If you use a course and you can't get through it, you're trying the best you can and you can't pass, then you have to ask yourself, is it me or the course? All right. Well, the courses want you to believe it's your fault. All right. But it may be the course. Not every course is good for a person, all right? So just don't keep using the same course if you keep failing with that course, all right? Yes, it costs money to get another course, but this whole thing is an investment in your future. And I'm not saying I have any right to say to you, hey, spend the money, all right? It's not my money, all right? But what's your time worth to you to continue to use the same course? Nothing is going to change with that course. You're not going to change, all right? Because they're giving you the same material that you failed with two or three prior times. So you have to decide,
yep.
Hey, maybe it's time to move on to something else.
Yeah. And we had an Instagram question come through from the Audit God. And he said, many people just say answering as many questions as possible is the best and easiest way to pass. Is that true or false? We've kind of covered it, but for those of us that didn't hear that original answer here on Instagram, Phil, what would you say, kind of a short version in time?
I would say whoever made that statement is not allowed to go to the AICPA and meet with them twice a year, mm-hmm. All right? Because Director of Examination says that's not the case. You have to understand the concepts, understand the pronouncements, okay? And also, if you do the same questions over and over and over again, you might start memorizing the answers, all right? And I spoke to someone who recently came out of the exam within the last 2 weeks. The exam has gotten harder. They're making it harder.
Yeah.
So no, I don't agree with that. And I know there is someone on the internet who tells people to do over thousands and thousands of questions over. All right. That person does not go with us to the meetings.
So we've got two additional questions that rolled through. One person was asking about how you had mentioned that the AICPA does a grading curve. They want to know if you could go into that a little bit more in detail, even though we are running a little short on time. Can you sum that up a little bit more, Phil?
We have no idea how they curve the exam, all right? Every exam is curved differently, because it's all based on how everyone did. And if they're going to pass, say, 40% and a part, all right, they'll pass the top 40%. And maybe the 40% last time did differently. So the curve is determined. That's the biggest secret, all right? No one knows how the curve is determined.
And I wouldn't even really call it a curve. It's a math equation that they're doing with each question individually. They'll say how many of the candidates that would normally pass the CPA exam with a 75 or above, how many as a percentage got that question correctly. And then they use the math on every question on your exam to come up with some sort of valid and consistent algorithm to measure your ability to perform those concepts. And I mean, it's so mathematically intense that a curve is very simplistic by comparison, which is why it's really not that. And I think the other thing to mention on curves and related to that, not every question on your exam is scored. There's a large percentage of questions that are actually pretest questions. And those pretest questions, they're just getting a sense of how many, if you were to pass, would get that question correctly. They don't want questions on the exam that 100% of people would answer correctly. And they don't want questions that 0% of people would be able to answer. They want questions that split people. And some would know it, some would not know it. And those pretest questions are the ones they're trying to get a sense of what would people know.
You know, when I go to the meetings twice a year and they bring in the staff from Prometrics, interestingly enough, most of those people from Prometrics are not accountants. They are actually math majors, computer science majors. All right. Yep. So the exam is basically set up based on, like Megan was saying, the algorithms and, you know, all these math concepts that they come up with, all right? Don't worry about how they curve the exam, all right? You shouldn't be thinking about how they curve it. You should think about how I'm going to study the blueprints so I know the material. That's what your concern is, all right? Don't worry about how they grade it. They're not going to tell us, and really, probably if they explained it to me, I couldn't come back and explain it to you, all right? They're not going to divulge that. Okay? Mm-hmm. They'll never divulge it.
All right. And for our last question, just to wrap things up, can we use authoritative literature during the exam? I am planning on taking BEC exam and following the blueprints. Can you suggest a few more tips before the exam?
Well, they give you the authoritative literature, I know, in financial accounting. They have it there. You have it. You also have it. You have the Internal Revenue Code, I believe, in taxes. All right. Yeah. And also you have the pronouncements for auditing. Am I correct?
That's correct.
All right. But if you just totally depend upon that and you don't know the answers, all right, you won't have enough time to get through the exam.
Yep. And one of the questions that came up on the AICPA webinar last week, that the recording should be available soon if you missed it, was if on, for instance, financial accounting and reporting, would the authoritative literature be available during the multiple choice question, or is it only during simulations? And it's for the whole exam. But again, like Phil said, do not rely on it. You will run out of time. Like that should be only if you need to check something like a rate or something like that. But typically they would give you a rate or, you know, if it's a regulation, Internal Revenue Code, those types of things, they'll give it to you in the question. If it's something that has a phase out or something that changes from year to year, they would actually provide that. You wouldn't need to look it up.
They give you the pronouncements. It's like having an open book exam. And I remember in college, every once in a while, we had open book exams. But you know, if you don't know the material, it takes you forever to find it in the book. You run out of time. All right. No, don't go by depending upon you. The AICPA is going to give you all the literature. Therefore, I don't have to start learning it. All right. There's not enough time. That's it. Please remember that. Let me just mention one thing about phase outs, if I can. On the phase outs on regulation, you see a lot of phase outs on regulation, AGI phase outs. All right. They don't test phase outs. That's one thing. They change from year to year. They don't test it. Also, they don't test you on due dates. Due dates are no longer on the exam. You don't have to know the due date of filing at 10:40 and 11:20. All right. Due dates are off the exam. So I said due dates. Phase outs. Is there anything else? I can't think of anything.
Those are the main ones. And anything that's in transition, typically they either pull it for the transition period. So for instance, Phil mentioned medical deductions. There's the 7%, 7.5% and the 10%. During that transition, they tried to either specify or pull it off of the exam so that it could transition.
Well, you have to do that now, Megan. They give you, they'll tell you. These are the blueprints effective for the people taking it July 1st, 2019, okay? You go to the AICPA website, AICPA.org, and look at the blueprints, all right? And they'll tell you, you know, which ones they're going to ask, all right? The blueprints give you so much information, so much.
All right.
They really do, all right.
So I do apologize, everyone. We are still getting questions in, but unfortunately, we are at our hour max time for this episode. I will take down the questions that we do have in here and forward them to both Phil and Megan and Philip so that they can answer them individually for you.
since we weren't able to make it to all of them. But I do want to thank everybody for joining us on this special second episode of CPA Review and More Facebook Live. Once again, don't forget, every first Tuesday of the month, we are going to be doing a Facebook Live Q&A. So keep those questions coming. We're going to be keeping the podcast going out every morning, every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as well. So keep an ear out for all of the information that we are releasing. Don't forget, Jaeger CPA Review has also released a new subscription format of the same Jaeger CPA Review course that you know and love, now on a no-commitment month-to-month subscription format. So sign up for the Jaeger CPA Review course. Check it out at JaegerCPAReview.com. Without further ado, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We are going to end this session.
And, Rob, can you mention, don't forget, we have other podcasts. We do podcasts every Tuesday morning, all right? And
yeah, we announced that, Phil.
And, Rob, once again, let's brag about ourselves. We are now rated number one of all CPA Review podcasts.
That's right. We are the number one CPA podcast on the internet currently, rated by FeedSpot. You can check out FeedSpot's website, their blog. They've got, I believe it was another 7 podcasts that they rated in the CPA industry, and we took the number one spot, even though we were only in the on the market for the last 2 months prior to them actually releasing that announcement. So,
all right. So anyway, please take advantage of everything we offer. We do it not just to keep ourselves busy. Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. To all, if you're taking the exam in the next few weeks, all right, good luck, and just study as hard as you can. Really study. Take care. Have a good week, everyone. Thank you for-